Our family has grown. Welcome to the world, Hanna baby. Introducing a new collection, Hanna Soft, made with Tencel. It's so breathable, with stretchy comfort for all of baby's first moments. And it's cool and gentle on their skin all year round. Entrusted Hanna quality for your most precious gift. Hanna Soft, made to last. Shop now at hannaanderson.com.
Hi, this episode of Nobody's Listening is brought to you by Bluehost Hosting. Unlimited space, unlimited hosting, unlimited bandwidth. Check it out today at nlcast.com/Bluehost. Also brought to you in part by listeners Drew Covert, Anna Silva, Joshua Kessie, Tamara Selleck, Janusz Jerzebek, Ryan Stallings, and Tom Tharp. This show's for all y'all.
I got a bad feeling about this.
No! Nobody's listening. No. Nobody's listening. No. Nobody's listening.
You're listening to Nobody's Listening, where we tell funny life stories and invite you to do the same.
Hey, this is Nobody's Listening, the show where we tell funny life stories. And yeah, like she said, episode 182, brought to the week of November 8th, 2011. I'm your host. My name is James, and with me is John. Hey, it's May 30th, sign clobber. How you doing, John?
Well, thank you for welcoming me back there, James, and thanks. It's not May 30th.
No.
I pulled up the wrong show notes. I forgot. It's been so long.
Yeah, it has been. It's been a while.
How long has it been?
Well, actually, it hadn't been since May 30th. I don't know. It's only been like a couple weeks. I'm sorry. I had stuff going on. You know, I have a job, and when my job calls, everything else has to go down. So we're glad to be back. We missed you, everybody out there in podcast people world, and we hope you missed us. And congratulations on making it back. We always start with an opening song, and this one, man, I went all over the place. I wanted to play the new Chuck Testa song by Shmoho Yoho, the Gregory Brothers. Okay. Then I found out that Rumi had covered it, and I love that guy's voice. Then I found this, so this is what we're playing.
This was a triumph. I'm making a note here, huge success.
Best cover I've ever heard.
It's hard to overstate.
Yes, I love these Swedes. Are they Swedish?
Yeah.
Aperture science.
It's just awesome. So sweet.
We do what we must because we can.
Because
for the good for of all of us, except the ones who are dead. But there's no sense crying over every mistake. You just keep on trying till you run out of cake. And the science gets done, and you make a new gun for the people who are still alive.
It's a song that never gets old.
That's right.
I'm not even angry.
Key change.
Oh, yeah. Way to go.
So
sorry, the chat room's asking us to stop talking.
We have to talk. It keeps us from getting sued.
That's right.
Yeah.
We'll have the link in the show notes.
Yeah. Because if we don't talk, then you don't need to buy it in iTunes.
That's right. Which you really should do.
Nice.
I love that.
Stay inside.
Oh, I'm so jealous of that.
Maybe you'll find someone else to help you.
I don't know what's going on there.
Maybe Black Mesa.
He's got the cake.
That was a joke. Ha ha. Fat chance. Anyway, this cake is great. It's so delicious and moist. Look at me still talking when the science to do. Research to be done on the people who are still alive. And believe me, I am still alive. Yeah. I'm doing science and I'm still alive.
Belt it out, dude.
I feel fantastic and I'm still alive. While you're dying, I'll be still alive.
I don't know why he's got a crowbar in the video.
Because in the video game, he's using a crowbar to smash.
No, I think you were thinking of another game. But that's okay.
Oh, no, you know what? I was thinking of the right game. I was thinking of alternate endings. Somebody videotaped or, you know, made their own little movie using the game to smash that computer that they hated so bad.
Oh, well, anyway, I hope you enjoyed that. We'll have a link in the show notes. Of course, that was Still Alive cover by one of our favorite groups, Roomy. And I don't know that we've ever played Roomy on Nobody's Listening before. Back, you know, in the Brokey days we did, but I hope you guys will enjoy and check out and subscribe to Roomy and tell him Nobody's Listening sent you, because we'd love to have his accent on the show. So,
dude, that would be a great score.
I think we could do it, too. I think we could
What if you wrote us a theme song? Do you think Rob Gobers would ever forgive us?
No. That would rock. Hey, it's time for this.
Weekly.
You shut your mouth.
Okay, we can do that. Update.
Okay, so I broke down. Those of you that listen to Q-Hog know that I have debated for a while on what to do about the differing cues that I have with my kids on Netflix, streaming. I have a certain type of movie and stuff and shows and TV shows, and then they have their little kiddie shows. Well, I broke down and got them their own account. And I hooked up their Wii to it, blah, blah, blah. And now they can watch all PG and under shows and, you know, this, that, and the other. One of the first shows that we popped up was a movie I was familiar with. It's actually a documentary. It doesn't have a word in it. But it's called Microcosmos, and it's about bugs. And I highly suggest it. Yeah. It's great. I've used it for years for object lessons and stuff when teaching kids. But it has lots of little scenes in it with bugs just up close and sound effects and all this. Anyway, we're watching it, and there was this whole thing on ants. And my daughter, you know, has a big heart. She's like John, except worse. And yeah, she loves people even more. But so she's looking at these ants, and they're carrying all these seeds and stuff, and they're putting them away. And she's like, oh, because she's getting why the anthill exists. You know, she's seeing the tunnels underneath, and and she's like, wow, I did not know that ants work that hard, she says. And I'm like, yeah, yeah, they store up for the winter and all this kind of stuff. She says, man, oh, they work so hard. I wish I could be nice to them, but it's just not working out that way.
It's just not going to work out.
She's not working out. She's like, yeah, because they keep trying to bite me, and I have to keep stepping on them. So, you know, ants, any ants that listen to the show, just spread the word to your friends. If you want to stay alive around my daughter, just be nice to her. Don't bite her. Anyway. Yeah. I didn't know ants work so hard. Yeah.
I really wish I could be nice.
I could be nicer to them, but it's just not working out. So I was pretty happy with her. She's good for a laugh once in a while. So John, what do you have? What are you bringing to the table today, weekly update wise?
Well, since you brought a kid story,
yay!
I will not.
Oh,
unless you want me to, because my kids are full of hilarity. But I think later on in the show we'll have a chance to talk about that. I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Because I'm not really sure what our theme is. Anyways, you know, in my conversations, bathrooms all often come about.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, bathrooms are a funny place to me. I mean, it's probably the only place that it's acceptable to do the things that I enjoy doing, like breaking wind and whatnot.
Right, right.
But you always feel like you shouldn't. You know, you're like, if you're in there, you're like, well, if I fart. People are going to laugh at me, because I know that if it was me listening, I'd be laughing at them. But I was in a bathroom the other day, and there's just something unique about it, and not really the bathroom in general, but I was in there and just doing my business, you know, like you do.
Yeah.
And this one of these executives walks in, and he's got his suit on and his tie, and he's doing his business. You know, it's a stand-up job kind of business that I'm talking about.
Yeah,
so we're there standing next to each other, and
that's called paperwork, by the way. Business is actually sitting down like you're at a desk and doing things.
And it involves paperwork?
Yeah, we should Yeah, that's true. You're
okay.
Right.
Okay, well, let's fix that. What should I call this stand-up job?
A standing meeting.
Okay, we were having a standing meeting.
There you go.
There was no conversation going on between me and Mr. Executive over there. It was just a standing silent meeting until he lets this huge one go. And you know when you want to laugh, but you can't?
Yeah.
Because, you know, obviously.
Just for the record, I think farting at the stalls is illegal. I mean, at the urinals, yeah.
Not unless you want to get laughed at. Because it's funny. It echoes in that room. And things happen.
I don't think I would laugh.
I'm sorry. I do. It's so hard. Well, I had to wait till I was done and I had to wash my hands really fast and then walk out of the bathroom and go laugh in private where I could get the laughter out of my system. But it's just funny because, you know, somebody in a suit and a tie that's an executive, you just don't expect that out of them.
Right, yeah.
But you know that he was probably in a meeting for a long time and he just needed to let off some steam. And so he did in my presence. And little does he know that I have a hard time not laughing at that noise.
You know, it seems like when an executive, if you make a certain amount of money and you have a certain type of suit when you fart, it should sound like the beginning of the final countdown by Europe. You know, it would just be so rad. That could be an upgrade you could get, you know.
Dude, that would be so cool.
On your anal sphincter.
You've only got a $400 suit. My $500 suit plays the Emperor March.
Yeah. So. I think the ladies would really like that even more if they could have, you know, the wedding march play or something. I don't know. And somehow it should be able to tell you when it's coming, and it could just start. You know,
it'd be like the trumpet volontaire. You know what that song is?
No, sing it for me.
Oh, it's not. It's a trumpet song.
Aw.
I don't remember. It's they play it a lot at weddings. Oh,
you sounded so smart for a minute, John. Dadgum you.
Trumpet volontaire. I'm getting it mixed up with the fanfare for the common man, which is an Aaron Copland classical song that's also used, features the trumpet, but trumpet volontaire.
Okay, I'm officially too stupid to talk to you. So, speaking of too stupid, hey, chat room, how you doing? How you doing, guys? We got some people in the chat room tonight. We got about 16 folks in there, so let me holler at some of them. I see Archid Tokorikaka, Doxin, Dr. Quest 77, J-Man 94, Joseph Steinklauber, I don't know who that is, Elizabeth Grace, Moonbeam Bubble, Ninja Boy, Sir Tyklin, The Angry Bird, Ryan 76, Ashley's in there, and a whole bunch of other people. Including some anonymous folks. Thank you for joining us. You can join us every Tuesday night at 9:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Pacific, and we would love it if you did. That would be really cool.
Yeah.
News.
Hey, just a little bit of news real quick. We have a new podcast. We told you about it, so it's not so new. Actually, we just did episode 4 last week. It is called Q-Hog, and it records every Thursday at 9:30 p.m., you can check it out at QHOG.com. John, I got some news for you. QHOG is now in new and notable in the family and kids section of iTunes. Isn't that awesome?
Well, that is cool.
Yeah, it's not our main category, but hey, I'll take what I can get. I'm still looking over there at TV and film and hoping we jump in there.
So you don't like submit it to anything in particular?
No, just you do. You do.
Oh, okay.
But you get a secondary category as well. And so, for instance, and Nobody's so, Listening is secondarily listed in kids and family too. So,
that's how we get found.
That's right. So anyway, if you would do us a favor, go over there to QHOG.com or look us up in iTunes and subscribe and give it a listen. The show is about Netflix television, streaming television. And if you're into Netflix, or would like to be, go in and check it out. And we'll probably be talking about a show you've enjoyed or one you've never heard of that you would. And me and John Steinklauber are on there, along with Eric Fisher and a newcomer to the show called Dr. Quest. And I know him as Christopher Titchnell. So we're excited. It's going to be awesome. He will not be there Thursday, though, for when we talk about.
Yeah.
Like this week, we're talking about Better Off Ted. And
Better Off.
And it's pretty funny show already. I'm enjoying it. So,
yeah.
We
and the Rockford Files.
Oh, yes, yes. I have not cracked that book yet, but I'm looking forward to it. Hey, next order of business is the Minecraft prize. We've been trying to give away John's spare Minecraft account for quite a while. And everybody that we chose for the contest either had one or had no interest in it or something like that. So we decided to give it to the runner-up. And the runner-up is John?
Well, the runner-up was Quinn Anderson.
Yay!
And I contacted Quinn Anderson.
Yeah?
And he said, and I should read it because it's very kind. He said very nice things to us and about us.
Cool.
He said, I do recall the contest, blah, blah, blah. He says, however, I do have to say that I am in a similar situation where work is long and time with my family is scarce. That being said, I'm unable to use the code. I can't give this code away.
Dadgum.
So he did thank us, and he said we will be hearing from him again, which I do appreciate because he's got some really good stories that are sometimes difficult to get through. So I went through my random calculatorizer. And got the third runner up,
yes.
Which is, and I think he's in the chat room tonight.
Yay.
J-Man 94.
All right.
He sent us a story in with the April Fool's prank. So J-Man 94, if you are listening or if you're in the chat room, send me your email or I'll just dig through
He seems happy.
Oh, yep. He's there. He said woot. So you're the winner, my friend.
All right.
So J-Man 94, it will finally be getting
Dadgum.
Minecraft to play.
I know. I thought we had
a curse. That was tough.
It was very tough.
Tough to get that sent.
Hey, last bit of news. We have apps in the iPhone and the Android marketplaces, so please go check them out for weekly bonus content and all that kind of stuff. We'd love for you to do that and support the show. And if you'd like to sponsor a show of your own, you can go over there to nlcast.com or podcast.nlcast.com. And for $5 a show, you can have your shout out mentioned at the, or your name shouted out at the beginning of the show. Or for $10, you could holler out your business, your website, or a message of some kind. So that's something we're doing. We're shifting the way we do sponsorships back to the way we used to. And so anyway, if you'd like to sponsor a show, please do. And you'll be helping out keeping Nobody's Listening free and awesome. Those things are both necessary. Okay? So it's time for this, people.
Featured story.
All right. Today's featured story is going to be a collaboration of stories between John and I. We didn't get to do a Halloween episode this year, and that was really sad for me. So what I figured we could do is kind of catch up and talk about any and all things that happened in the last few weeks relating to Halloween. Now, what was going on in my world, and let me explain why we didn't do a show, is because I was doing something called the Odyssey. And those in the chat room will see I'm actually wearing the official Odyssey t-shirt. It was a big tour that we built from scratch, and it was an acting thing. It was like for kids to go through, and they went through the Bible basically from Genesis all the way through to the maps. And it was non-scary, and it was candy in each room that was themed to the lesson. And they like got to walk inside of the whale to meet Jonah, and you know all this kind of stuff. So it was really detailed and very successful, very very fun to do. And but it just evaporated all my time for a good month. So
I can understand that.
But one night I was out there working because it was a lot of 12-hour days. I was working late, and the 9 o'clock hour had come and gone, and it was time for me to head home. And I heard down the hall in the young adults room that there were some people practicing, just singing and playing the piano and all this kind of stuff. And I was like, I need to tell them that I'm leaving because I gotta, I gotta kick them out of here and lock up the place and put the, what do they call it, the alarm, set the alarm and all this kind of stuff. So I go to open the door, and the door is locked. And I'm like, okay, I know there's a guy and a girl in there. So that's weird. And the door is locked. So that's weird. This is weird. So I start jiggling the handle a little bit. And I realize immediately that they have stopped singing. And like in mid howl, it just dried up. The piano stopped. And there's dead silence on the other side of the door. So I'm like, you know what? I'm freaking them out on accidents. This is where I'm going to go. I'm going to go ahead and do this. So even though I'm pulling out keys and about to open the door, and I don't want to scare them too bad, I start moaning. and silence. I just hear whispers.
What is that? It's a demon. There's a demon in the church.
And I pull out the wrong key, so I do end up extending it. I'm shaking the door. I'm beating on the wall. Boom, 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 boom. And I'm like, surely I'm being so – I'm exaggerating this thing so much. I'm making it so obvious. There is no way that they're thinking that there's really a zombie out here. But when I finally get the door open, I kid you not, there the lady that was singing – is standing 3 feet from the door with the big old giant chair in her hand, arched back over her head like a baseball player, ready to cream me. I'm surprised she didn't
knock your head off.
She was gonna knock my full head off. My brains was gonna splatter. And I'm telling you, I walked in as I was realizing this, and and I'm surprised she didn't hurt me. You know, if I had seen because it takes a full second for you to respond to what you see, you know, in your head and all this stuff. I was already well into the room by the time. But one thing I did notice right away is that it was the lady standing near the door with the chair in her hand, not the gentleman who was playing the piano. He was more than happy to sit behind the piano and let her come on up and take one for the team there. So I was like, well, hats off to him. I don't know what was going on. Maybe I think they were legitimately practicing. I do. But if there was any kind of romantic spark growing, I think I killed it by accident right there. Because she's dreaming about him and her and having children. And all of a sudden zombies attack him. And he leaves her and the kids behind and runs for the hills.
they were probably singing together. She had her hand on his shoulder. Just worshiping together, yes, having a grand time.
This is just the Lord. Yeah, it is the Lord. The Lord is showing you that he is not the one.
You should have stuck your arm in and just kind of shook it a little bit.
She would have chopped my arm off at the wrist, man. Haven't
you
seen that?
You got two.
No. No. No.
That's awesome.
But I really did. I freaked them out, man. They thought, well, you know, there's just something weird about places. And churches aren't the only place. I used to think it was only churches, but any place that's usually full of people that's suddenly not is freaky.
Like a theater.
Theaters, I would say.
An abandoned building.
Museums, even your own house. When John, I'm sure you can relate to this. When your family's just gone, your house becomes a very spooky place.
About my scary house.
Yeah.
I might get scared, and there's people in here right now, so we can move on to a different subject.
So those people. You know, well, I told you, my mom, for some reason, I don't know why she thought this was necessary to tell an 8-year-old, but she told me when I was a kid, and she was a real spiritual, you know, Christian woman and all this, but a little over the edge. And one thing she told me, she says, James, when the people leave the church, that's when the demons come back. And so
all the demons that have been cast out.
Because they're scared of, you know, Christians, apparently, you know, and so they come back in when we leave. And so from then on, I'm 38 years old, people. And still, when I walk down or I walk into a bathroom at the church, I walk down a hall that's dark, I'm like, hello, demons. How are you? And it occurred to me the other day. It occurred to me the other day that I never put myself in the Christian category. I've always just automatically assumed that the demons did not mind me being there. Because according to my mom's logic, if I'm in the church, then the Christian is there and the demons would stay gone. But I've never given myself that power, you know. Anyway.
Wow.
Oh. Scary.
Churches are scary.
Yes, yes. Anyway, yeah. So what do you have any good Halloween time stories?
Well, yeah, I kind of do. My sons, this was the very first time that they ever got to go trick-or-treating.
Mm. Oh, cool.
And so, yeah, it was a big deal. I mean, it was a big deal for me.
It's a lot of fun. I'd
been only trick-or-treating once in my life, and that was when I was like 12. And so that was a long time ago. So I got to be the dad that walked the kids around and let them go to the door-to-door.
Your wife let you do that. That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. She usually likes to be
the
dad.
Last year, the dad, yeah.
Yeah. Actually, yeah, no. So we had to decide what are we going to dress these kids up as. So we went through, you know, a list of things, and finally we made a decision. These two guys are going to be Batman and Robin.
Mm.
And so I dressed them up as Batman and Robin. And my boys get along pretty good, you know, most of the time. But usually the older one will do a little something to irritate the younger one.
Yeah, that's his job.
Who is two. Yeah, you know, his big brother job. So the two boys are walking down the street just being happy and stuff. And the older one starts messing with the younger one. And the younger one decides to mess back with the older one. And it's just – I wish I had it on tape because it's funny to see a little Robin beating up a big Batman. You know, just a little kid, little capes waving in the breeze, a happy moment. And then Robin with his pail of candy just whack his brother. Batman, who just isn't tough enough.
No.
But, you know, that it's not as good as a good zombie scare.
No, I think it's awesome because it's visual. I mean, that's not the way it's supposed to be. If anybody's supposed to crack somebody upside the head, it's supposed to be Batman. So, yeah. Little Robin just kind goes of
funny.
Rabid and just beats up on. Yeah, it's awesome.
it's funny to see Batman shudder in fear at his boy wonder. But they were a good pair. They were a good pair. They did a good job. Next year I'm thinking of going, you know, maybe dressing them up as something from Star Wars.
Oh, do they always have to rhyme, though? Don't do that to them.
Well, I was thinking I could dress one of them up as Leia, since he used to Princess Leia, dresses. And then dress the other one up as Luke Skywalker.
Press the other one?
Yeah, yeah. And then that way I could go as Darth Vader and then say, I am their father.
Oh.
And that'd be totally awesome, right?
I've got a dream that me and my wife and all the kids all go in the same costume. Like we all dress, not together in like a multi-head. I mean, we all dress, we pick a costume, Thomas the Train. I don't even care what it would be, but we would all wear the same costumes. Like,
oh, dude, I am so going to call your wife and tell her that she needs to pick like Lady Gaga or
dude,
something.
I would dress as Lady Gaga. I would do it. I would do it. Yeah. At least with it a year away and for plenty of time to change
prepare.
Up. Yeah. To lose the I was born this way. Now, plenty of time to lose the proper amount of weight and all that kind of stuff. So, but who knows? In a year from now, she may look exactly like me as I am now. So who knows?
Oh, with a beard and all?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Many people think, you know, that she is a dude. So I don't. Oh, man. But,
oh, they don't.
Okay. What was I going to say? Oh, mine. Okay. Part of my job with the Odyssey was doing everything, but I also had to create by hand for the first time in my life, really, four puppets. I made a 4.5-foot octopus puppet with eight legs and, you know, the whole thing. And I made a fish puppet. I made a starfish puppet and I made a snake puppet. And two of them were blacklight puppets. So people in all black, you know, were behind
them. Let me guess.
It was
the octopus and the fish.
The octopus and the starfish, actually. Oh. You're close. The fish hung out with the Jonah to give him somebody to talk to in the mouth of the fish, the whale, and the snake was Garden of Eden. So, and all the puppeteers did really great. But my son, you know, and daughter got to watch me, you know, hand stitch every single one of these things over the course of about 3 weeks. And I'd bring them home and be watching TV while I'm sewing and this kind of stuff. And what really took so long was doing all the skin, you know, because the foam work was hard, wasn't that hard, but covering it with the fleece and then stitching every seam and having to learn how to do it and perfecting it as you went along. So my son, just absolutely 3-year-old son, fell in love with these puppets, and he's like, Daddy, you know, what are these for, and what are you doing, and this, that, and the other. And then it became, once he understood that, he was like, you need to bring them home after Ozzy. You need to bring them home. I want them at home. And so that was a big thing. I'm like, I don't know, man. I don't know that we'll be able to do that because I'm going to put them in storage, this, that, and the other. And he didn't care. He's just like, I want the puppets. I want puppets at home. He loved them. Oh, he just thought they were so cute and all this. Well, finally, the Odyssey happens. You know, it's Halloween night. He goes through. He sees all these things. And we're driving home. And he looks at me. I mean, he doesn't look at me. He's in the back seat. But I could just tell he had this weird, skewed up look on his face. And he goes, Daddy, you made the puppets talk. And I'm like, yeah, I guess I did. You know, they were talking. Did you make them talk? You make them talk? I'm like, yeah, I did. I mean, these three, he don't know any such thing as a puppeteer. He believed them. They came alive. The puppets was alive. Man. And he's like, okay. And he, you know, after he kind of sat back there, and I could just tell that thing was simmering on the back burner of his mind. Well, that night when his mom's putting him to bed, he'd saying his prayers and all that. And afterwards, he looks at my wife. He says, I don't want them puppets to come home anymore. And she says, really? He says, yeah, because they was talking. And he says, they might look at me. Well, and if I touch them, they might get mad. So we have decided as a family we're not going to bring puppets home at the house. So, you know, they're alive now. And it's like my daughter with the Pixar lamp, if you remember.
Yes. What if it turns its head and looks at me?
So they might look at me, and if I touch them, they might get mad. So before, he could have done anything he wanted to them, treated them like a stuffed animal. But now he realizes they have personalities, they have will, they are self-aware.
He said that he knew that you did the voice.
No, all right, in the magical world of a 3-year-old, that I wasn't doing the voices. I was with him while other people were doing the voices as he saw the event happen. And so but he still thinks his dad made that happen. Like I turned them into talking.
You breathe life into them.
Yes. Thank you. So there you go. That's it. That's what happened. Speaking of the Pixar thing, for those of you that aren't familiar, my daughter told me one time I had to get a lamp out of her room. I said, why? She says, because I'm afraid it will turn its head and look at me and turn on. And I was like, what in the world? What a weird thing to be scared of. I removed the lamp, and it wasn't until I watched Cars with her later on that I saw the Pixar logo where the lamp jumps on the eye, turns its head, looks at you, and turns on. My daughter's scared. She's not scared of zombies. She's not scared of anything, but she's scared of the dumb Pixar logo. Well, so the other night I took this lamp.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did. And I stretched it out, and me and the lamp went walking around the house right after I put her to bed. And that lamp, I had him looking down just like he does. And I had him poke out from around the corner, and then I had him look up at her. And she, all I hear, I couldn't see her. That's the only bad thing. All I hear, though, is I hear, and apparently she was out of bed, which she wasn't supposed to be, because when I looked around the corner, she was laying flat on her back with her head up against the edge of the bed, like she had fallen over, hit her head, and still didn't care, because this freaking Pixar lamp was coming in to get her. And so then I decided to test her mom out, and I hid behind the door while she took the dog out, and the Pixar lamp came out from behind the door when she came in, and she screamed, and I was like, well, you can't make fun of your daughter. You know, we know where she gets it from now. And she says, it's context, James, it's context. I'm scared of the lamp in the context of a lamp. It's not supposed to be stalking me from behind a door. But I think it made it a little less scary because it didn't have a light bulb. It had one of them twisty goo ones in there. You know what I'm talking about? Like the one that looks like it was squeezed out of a soft serve ice cream machine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's weird. You need your own reality show. That's all I'm saying.
That's true.
Cameras in your house all the time, that'd be the bomb.
Dude, I'm always picking on my kids. Like they went to go take a bath tonight. their mom starts the water. And so what do? I go in there while they're getting ready and they're not in the room yet. And I go, I stand in the tub in the water and pull the curtain just enough where they can't see me when they come in. And my son comes in and he's looking and he sees the curtain. He peeks around, he sees me and he jumps back. And
then, you didn't even have to say anything.
I don't say nothing, man. I just stand there and he's like, "What are you doing?" You can't. So, and then my daughter comes in. She sees he's talking to somebody in the shower. That freaks her out. She's like, "Daddy!" She won't even come in the room.
"Daddy!"
Until I announce myself. So,
dude, I got a story. This is a little bit older, but being scared and all that stuff is reminded me of this.
Yeah.
Okay, is it now a good time to interject?
Absolutely. I'm going to take a quick nap.
Okay.
Sorry.
All right. Years ago when I was working for the church, I was brand new. I was interning at this church, and it was my first job. I just graduated from college, and I was very green, didn't know anything to do. I had a background in drama, though, and the church knew that. And so they said, "Hey, we want you to help us with our Halloween production." Mm. And I was like, "Halloween production?" You know, I hadn't heard of that at all. I mean, this is kind of before Hell House and all those Christian haunted houses and stuff. So they said, "Yeah, there's this church up in Stockbridge or somewhere that does this thing called the Terror Trail or something, but it's basically a we're going to scare you out of hell kind of thing, you know."
Yeah.
Not it, you know, it takes you through Judgment Journey. That was what it's called.
Okay.
For all you Georgia folks. And so they said, "We want to do that here." And so I had never seen theirs. They just kind of told me about it, and they had people that were putting it together. And so basically what they did is they took this trail that we had through the woods near the church, and they set up these different scenes of, you know, judgment and stuff. And so, you know, I was pretty proud of the special effects that I put into it. We had a fog machine, and I made a cooler box for it to keep the fog on the ground. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in the October air, it just hovered across the ground, made the scene look awesome. And it was just, you know, great special effects, in my own opinion. We did have some really cheesy, corny stuff, and churches just do that sometimes. Yeah. Against my better judgment. But anyways, I got to be like the trail guy that took these different groups of people through the trail.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I kind of play this crypt keeper kind of role, because in the very end, I turned out to be the devil.
Ooh.
And I dragged people off to hell. And it was so awesome. But we had this one scene. It was a car accident scene. And we had a guy that had done a really good job rigging up lights throughout the woods. It was really cool. I'm sorry if I'm boring you.
No, I'm just sleepy. Go for it. You're doing great.
Okay. So we have this scene. It's a car accident scene. They actually wheeled a car in there and pushed it down the hill, and it actually ran into a tree. So the crash looked realistic enough.
That's cool.
And so what happens is the scene starts. You hear the sound of the car crashing, and then all of a sudden you're in the middle of the woods with a tree and a car, and it's crashed into it. And the guy comes flying out of the car. And what was supposed to have happened is the person who was driving the car was taken up in the rapture, so to speak. For those of you who don't know what the rapture is, just look it up.
I think they know. It's already happened a couple times.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. I forgot about that. So what happens in this scene is this guy is in the passenger side. Sound effects go off. Car crashes. Lights are about to go up. You hear the door fly open, and this guy comes rolling out across the grass. And lights go up. And as the lights go up, he's starting to stand up. And he... I'm sorry.
He left. He either farted or he didn't have pants on. One of the two. I'm just taking a wild guess.
This dude, I'm sorry. He totally did. He let the huge fart out.
Oh my. How did I know? How did I know?
He did. He let this huge, I mean, It was so awesome. People in the crowd, their hair was blowing back and everything.
They were asking, Jesus, save us. We don't even have to take the rest of the tour. Come into my heart now.
Well, there's a bad thing, okay? It was a serious scene. And so everybody heard it. And there's a crowd of maybe 10 people. The pastor is one of the people in the crowd. And I'm trying to compose myself. I have a microphone. I'm mic'd. So if I let out the slightest giggle, the whole scene is going to be ruined. So I turn my mic off and I'm just kind of... And I look over, and I was good. I was composed. I look over, and the pastor and his wife are there, and she's got her face buried in his arms. She's laughing so hard, and he's got this smirk on his face like he wants to laugh, but he knows there's other people and doesn't want to ruin the scene too. So I try and get all the little giggles out that I can, and then just before my mic turns back on to where I've got to deliver some lines, I'm able to compose myself. For just long enough.
So let me ask you, was that the rapture? I mean, I hear a trumpet supposed to blast. So was that one of the special effects? I'm wondering.
It was a real blast. I'm just hoping that, you know, if there is a trumpet that blows before the happening, that it's not that kind of trumpet, because I'll be laughing all the way and I might get left behind.
Yeah.
We can't take him. He laughs at farts.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm immature.
No, it's one of your characteristics.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, it's a good one.
Yeah, Gabriel's trumpet.
They said, you know, you'll be gone in a twinkling of an eye. Maybe your eyes are watering. As you're going up, that's where the
twinkling
comes
of
from.
An eye, not a stinkling.
Stinkling. All right. Okay. Okay. One of the other things I got to do is I worked with other people while I was doing this Odyssey thing, and I had people coming in. You know, over 60 volunteers. There were actors. There were builders. There were decorators, and there was this one group of ladies, mostly from the same family, and they were all together working on heaven. And that was our big finale at the end, full of angels dumping candy on kids, you know, just pure brainwashing material. But heaven is good. Which it is. But anyway, they were decorating this thing, and there was all this white gossamer hanging from the ceiling. And gossamer is, it's like tulle if you're a wedding person, but it's thinner. I'm trying to think. You order it from prom supply houses, you know? It's just stuff that...
So it's like a white... It's like a real fine white mesh net,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And totally spent too much time on it. But that's what it is. But the point is, you can see through it until you get about two layers of it. And then it's literally like standing in a fog where you can see through close to you, but not so much further away. And there would be people. What we did is we took this room and kind of turned it into a loose maze where it just kind of wound back and forth to break up the room a little bit, give kids something to, you know, a candy maze type experience. We hung all these icicle lights everywhere. We had all this white gossamer. It was awesome. And but what it did is it afforded me the opportunity, as we're weaving around in this place, setting stuff up, tying things off, you know, this, that, and the other. I had a lot of opportunities to scare the crap out of people. And I've learned how to do it as a pastor and not get in trouble for it. And all you got to do is act like it was an accident. Because
tell me.
Okay. Well, like with my kids, you know, I knew I was in the bathtub. I knew I was in there and that it was going to scare them. All I had to do was stand there and wait. Right. Well, we weren't in the bathtub here, but if I see somebody and they're about to come through the door that I'm about to stand at, all I have to do is stand there. And as they open the door, I act like I'm coming in, and maybe I'm making a weird noise. Maybe I don't know anybody's on the other side of the door, and I'm just going, I'm in mid yawn. Yeah. And if it sounds like a monster, so if it's, yeah, my tummy hurts. So as they're opening the door, and I suddenly spring into action, and I help, you know, but I don't push the door so they don't know that there's somebody there. And if I just say, oh, hey, and they freak out, and, you know, their hands are waving in front of their heads, slapping themselves with their fingertips in the face. Oh, my gosh, you scared me so bad. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. I am so – are you easily startled? Because I –
I didn't know. I'm so sorry.
Or with the gossamer, my point was that, you know, somebody would be standing on one side of it and I'd be coming around the other side, and I would just stand there. I'd just stop, and I knew they weren't there, and they would focus through the gossamer and see me. And about the moment that they saw me, then I'd be like, do you have the stapler? That's all you'd have to say. And they go, wah! And they freak out, and then they're looking for the stapler.
Yes.
Because you're a pastor, surely you would never, ever try to scare them on purpose. So I hope none of them listen to this show. I think one of them does. One of the men in the family does. So please don't tell all of the ladies in your family that I was doing all those startles on purpose. Because there's too many to mention on the show. I've forgotten.
Your church one day.
But
I'm going to let the cats all out of the bag.
Don't you do
all
it.
All of them.
Don't you do it. Well, that's like the other day, I heard some people complaining about our check-in system because we have the kids come in, we photograph them, we take fingerprints of the parents. You know, it's this big thing. It doesn't take but 5 minutes to do a whole family, and you only have to do it the first time. After that, parents put their fingerprint on the thing, it prints out the badges, and then you're checked in for the day. But the first time, yeah, it's a little bit of a pain in the butt. And I heard somebody say, you know, gosh, we gotta give our right arm to drop our kids off. And it's not like they're going to get lost. And I come around the corner and I'm said, oh, yes, they will. I said, we hide your children like Easter eggs and you have to find them. So that's the new slogan for our church is we hide your children like Easter eggs.
We hide your children like Easter eggs.
Yeah.
So, ooh, speaking of candy.
Mm.
Okay, I'm going to inject another story if that's okay by you. Like I said, this was my first year being, you know, a parent that takes children around to get candy for Halloween. I had not done that, so I didn't really know the protocol. I mean, I know you ring the doorbell and you say trick or treat. That part was easy. I remembered that.
Yeah. And you've been the creepy guy on the block asking to take other people's kids around for trick or treat. But this is the first time of being legitimate. I understand.
Stop, man. That's not true. You're going to start rumors again. I was not in jail. So I didn't know the time. I didn't know, you know, what time you take the kids out. I mean, do you start when it's a little bit light? Because, you know, I don't want my kids getting run over.
Right.
Or you go a little bit later when it's almost dark. So I waited till I saw a couple other trick-or-treaters out, and I said, now's a good time to go. So I took them down, and we started going. And we went to this one house. And I guess the people had just gotten in because they went in the house and then the kids knocked on the door and did the trick or treat thing. And so they came to the door and they were scrambling together. And I saw the guy, the husband was leaning over and he had a bag of candy and he was dumping it into the kids' bags. And I was like, man, this guy is being generous. I mean, he's just dumping candy into both of the kids' bags. And I'm like, that's awesome. We're not, you know, I'm not going to have to buy candy for another month. Yeah. I was like, let's go back home, kids. This guy's filled you up. But no, we did continue on because, you know, I'm a greedy guy like that.
Yep.
But so we get back to the house and we're looking through the loot and the boys dump their bags of candy out onto the table. And I notice there's like candy corn just running all over the place. You know, it's just like all over the place. I'm like, what in the world? I thought, well, okay, maybe one of those little bags of candy corn is broke open. No, that guy that was dumping the candy corns.
Skyping out. So anyway, the candy corn was from the dude. Is that what it
was?
Yeah,
yeah. And you know, I knew it was good because I tasted it. And it wasn't poison, but I still didn't let them eat it.
This dad didn't know the rules about individually wrapped candies and stuff.
Well, it was perfect because, you know, I didn't know the rules of trick-or-treating. And so it worked out between the both of us.
Yeah. The rules of trick-or-treating are you talk your sister and hide in a closet and you dress up E.T. as her and then you sneak out. that was pretty much the only thing I had to look at for trick-or-treating when I was a kid was what they had done there. And you bring a but trick-or-treating, there's this magical time between sunup and sundown where the little kids go to do their thing, and it starts with little kids in cute costumes, and it ends when you see the first idiot middle schooler with just mascara streaked down their face and a dang pillowcase. That's it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Fill it up, mister.
Yeah.
I'm emo. Yeah. Oh. You mean emo from Sesame Street? No, man. I'm emo from – I'm just emotional.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means, man. Sorry.
Sorry. No costume, no candy. That's my rule.
And then they go and cry.
Yeah, they do. It's emotional for them. Hey, let's do some emails and V-mails. We haven't done those for a while, and I've got lots of Google Voice to play, so let's do it. This one's a quick one, 7 seconds.
Congratulations. NLCast.com is the first podcast site to be banned on my school district.
All right. So NLCast.com is banned in his school district. I wish we knew which one. Our goal is to be banned in every school district. That way you fools can't listen to us while you're at school. You're supposed to be learning. Anyway.
That's it, and I agree. So, you know, I congratulate us for being banned.
Yep.
Because it's your fault.
Yep.
But at the same time, I'd love to know the school district so I can congratulate them.
Yeah, I just call them up and say, hey, I'm a representative of NLCast, and I'd just like you to know that Thrifty 579 is in calculus right now, pre-calculus, and he's studying harder now because he can't access our website. I'd also like to know why we were banned, because there's nothing on our website that's scary or bad except for that picture of John as a bat.
That's funny.
Anyway, this is Dr. Louie. Listen to it.
Good likeness.
Hey, James and John. This is Dan, a.k.a. Dr. Louie. I've got a story about my stepson, which is where I've been getting most of my material when I send in stories lately. He's been going through a phase where he enjoys giving purple nurples. I don't know if you guys know what that is, but Urban Dictionary defines it as the unexpected squeezing and twisting of the nipple on a friend results in your nipple turning purple. Purple. Anyway, we've quickly broke him of this habit, fortunately. But one day our cat, we have this big 35-pound black cat. He was lying on his back the one day, and my stepson takes notice of something. He comes over to me and he says, I can give Mr. Bear 6 purple nurples. And Mr. broke out Bear. Laughing, me and my wife, and one of the many funny things he says. But thanks, guys. Hope this makes on the show. And
it did. And I would like to add that Dr. Louie here, or whatever, he included a photo. He sent a photo. And I wish I could share it over an audio podcast, but I just can't. But it's the fattest black cat you've ever seen with the most obvious white pricks of flesh in, you know, in that particular 6-point pattern across the belly. And I'm glad that here's my challenge to his son up there in Pennsylvania. Go ahead and try to give Mr. Bear 6 purple nurples. Yay. Even try to give him 1. Yeah, cats are not going to sit there and put up with that. So anyway, hey, let's see. Drew from West Side of Mars. Let's see what he's got to say.
Hey, James and John, this is Drew. I know this is a couple of years late, but I have a bike story for you guys.
Dang. It's like 3 years late.
Well, I guess I still live in the house, so as of right now, there's a pool that's a neighborhood pool literally right up the street from our house. So a majority of the time, me and my younger and older siblings would ride our bikes up to the pool, swim, and then come back. And sometimes we'd ride on the sidewalk, sometimes we'd ride on the road. Really just depended on if our parents were watching or not. We had to ride on the sidewalk. And our neighborhood has these little, like, trees in between, like, the sidewalk and the road.
They're called bushes.
About every little 20
trees.
Feet.
Yeah, little
so,
trees.
So we were riding, and my sister, I want to say she was, like, 8 at the time, was, like, right in front of me. And she hit the little, a hill leading to the tree, and she did a flip, and it was in slow motion. I saw it, and I was freaking out. I was freaking out so much so that I fell off of the sidewalk and crashed a little bit myself, but that didn't matter. And she landed right on her back, and it, I imagine, hurt like crap. She was really crying really loud, and her bike was wrecked, and I'm pretty sure there's still a mark on the tree, but it's raining, so I'm not going to go check.
He's going to go check.
Call later. Bye.
Okay, Drew, you got to be thorough. I expect you to go out there and check next time, okay? Dadgum. You're gonna include details like we ride on the sidewalk and ride on the street, but you're gonna leave out if there's a mark on the tree. I'm upset, Drew.
Drew from the West Side of Mars podcast reminds me of Chris Farley. You remember the Chris Farley show from Saturday Night Live?
Yeah.
Where he would interview these people and then he'd just get nervous and then he'd say, have you ever seen The Terminator? Because that was an awesome movie. That's Drew right there.
Yeah.
That's his thing.
Well, thanks, Drew, for calling in. This one's, I don't know. It's from Atlanta.
Hello, my name is Josiah. I'm 13 and I just want to tell you that I love Nobody's Listening and all other, and all cats podcasts. You guys are great at what you do, and I appreciate the clean comedy.
Yay!
You know, just keep doing what you've been doing for the past 179 episodes.
Oh, and it's an old...
It's great. So, you know, I just thought I'd tell you that Nobody's Listening is my favorite podcast.
Yay!
And I will be with you in your countdown to 200 episodes.
Yeah.
Thank you. Awesome. Bye.
Yeah, which we are in the midst of. So thanks for that, Josiah. That's awesome. Yeah. Let's read a couple of emails, and then we got to do our recap song, because we're running late. We're already where we're not supposed to be time-wise, so...
It's my fault.
No. It is.
Yes.
No, it's not.
Okay, fine. Forget it. It's not.
Here we go. Baby puke. Hey, I was listening to the story of buttermilk in Walmart, and it reminded me of a baby story. I go home with three boys, ages 4, 6, 5 months once a week, so I was in the I was holding the baby. It started crying. Couldn't stop it. So I threw it out the window. No. I brought it to the kitchen to his mom. This is a girl from Australia. So mum is mom. The word. He was mom. On one of my hips, and just as I get to the tiles, he starts crying. Yay! Or he stops crying. Yay! Then all of a sudden, his bottom lip starts to quiver. Boo! And he pukes, baby puke, all down my shirt and on the floor. It was so stinky. That's all. And I'm sorry for the puke. You just puked on your mic. No, wasn't that gross? An Australian listener. And yes, I am in high school. So I just wanted to say, you know, McGinnis, if you continue the way you're going and you get married and have kids, this is just a precursor. You will have baby puke on you again in the future.
I have been barfed upon.
Now, it's not often that I read two from the same person, but being that she's from Australia, she has words that I'm not familiar with, you know, so I wanted to read it.
Poochie?
Huh?
Poochie?
No. This one's...
That's old Tom. Never mind.
The year 12s at school have a muck-up day where they muck up. Hence the name. Muck up? Yeah. I guess it's like a prank day, maybe?
So it's like the seniors in high school.
Yeah, the year 12s.
Muck-up day.
Huh.
The year 12s.
But the dumb people started a month early and took it too far. Trouble is they haven't had their exams yet. Anyway, when I got to school yesterday, one tree had been toilet papered. There was a bench half buried in the middle of the oval. I don't know what the oval is, but maybe that's like the
it's like the quad.
Yeah, the quad.
Except there's oval over there.
And there were tables and chairs bolted to the roof of the sports block. Sports block. Must be the gym, maybe?
Maybe the gym.
Mm. In assembly, the deputy was talking. Maybe that's the principal?
The auditorium with the principal, yes.
And suddenly the song I'm Sexy and I Know It started playing really loud over the speakers. All the teachers...
Which is a Justin Bieber song, right?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know.
All the teachers basically just stood still. And then seven year 12 boys ran through in Speedos, undies, with masks around their faces, all still good. Then one of them lights an orange smoke flare. The other one goes off two rows in front of me, and the room fills with orange smoke. At this time, after doing the lap of the hall, the seven swiftly exit, and there were also big sparks and sounds like gunshots. Anywho, everyone but the year 12s were evacuated, quote-unquote. We were told to go to the oval But as we go, we see the seven rapidly fleeing the vicinity. One mooning on the way.
Oh, that's dangerous.
Yeah. So we go to class about 10 minutes later, assembly canceled. And here's a list of the mistakes these people made. Apparently, many people were hospitalized for asthma. Gunshot-type sounds attracted the police's attention. One of the streakers ran into South Bank, where the Queen was being guarded by federal police, and they were swiftly tackled by feds with sniper rifles. Stupid people. The floor in the hall had just been replaced for the holidays and will now cost the school about $15,000. The school can also has the option of pressing charges for terrorism against the 7-year 12 kids. Man. Wednesday, the boys muck up. Thursday, the girls. So we don't know what the girls will do. Maybe we'll get that on a future show. But you Australian kids need to chill and just listen to podcasts at school like the American kids do.
Yeah, and then get your podcast banned from the school district. You know, I have a suspicion that the guy that called that in is a homeschooler. And so by our show being banned in his school district means, you know, he can't be listening to us in his house.
That's true. That's true.
I'm gonna hope that.
It's a quality. Hey, James, John, and Trevor, if this story gets sent back in time, this is my first submission to your show, but certainly not the last. I'm 12. However, this story happened to me at age 14. No, at age 4. I was being driven to my preschool by my friend's mom. Her and her son and I were on our way, and she decided she had time for a car wash. This is a great story. She went through, and being 4, I loved it. On the way out, she was informed by the fellow behind her that part of the car had fallen off. A minor part, but still a part. So she parked the car and got out and walked back in the little car wash. Little did she know that the fellow behind had already inserted his money. So when she was about halfway in the car wash, the water and the soap was triggered and started drenching her. It's trying to wash her. She knew if she headed back the way she came, she would trigger the hot wax. So she unfortunately had to run out past the car through the soap, water, and the brushes out the way at the front. We were unaware the whole time. Keep up the good work and don't get kicked in the junk.
I got kicked in the junk.
Yeah. That was from Elijah. So thank you, Elijah.
That's awesome, dude. I would have loved to have seen that happen. Could you imagine? Would have been so funny.
Because you try to run and there's nowhere to go.
Because, you know, once that water hits you, like, you're going to get into panic mode and you're just going to, like, freeze for a second.
It's not in the water. You're getting hit with multicolor foam, you know. There's a spinning brush coming at you. I always imagine those things would hurt, you know. It's like getting slapped with towels over and over by a million year 12s. So.
Moaning on the way out.
Moaning. All right. It's time for us to do what we do best, and that is close out the show with a little something we like to call the recap song. So, John, feed me those lines, and we'll do our best to make it enjoyable for you. It's going to have to be quick, though. We're late.
I'm going to have to apologize to everybody that sent in stuff right away while James is tuning. I don't have my notes open like I usually would, and so because of computer crash.
Okay.
It may be stuff that we just talked about.
That's all right. It needs to be quick anyway.
Okay. I want to hear about zombies scaring people who think they're in love.
Oh. My dumb one. Okay.
Yep. Your dumb boy.
Well, I had been talking to Jesus, and he gave me a man, and we were practicing late at night. And as we were worshiping our little hearts out, something tried to climb inside our room, inside where we were. Started talking to Jesus again, because nobody was moving, especially not the guy I hoped would be my own. So I grabbed a chair and I took that zombie on. Zombie from Jesus. Thank you for changing my life. Oh, zombie from Jesus. You kept me from becoming his wife. Oh,
oh. Oh, that's too good.
All right, John.
I want to hear another verse of that.
And I picked up a chair and I walked toward the door. I was looking over my shoulder at the man I thought was bolder, but he kept his hands on the keyboard. And as that door flew open, and I tensed for a final swing, it turned out that it was just Pastor James, and he was grinning. Grinning. Oh, zombie for Jesus. Thank you for coming around. And it was true. I'm glad I didn't give my heart to you. Thank you for sending that zombie. Whoa, Jesus, thank you. Yeah. Thank you for sending your zombie. Jesus, everybody, thank you for coming around. Whoa, zombie, zombie from Jesus. Oh, thank you for making that sound. Thank you, Jesus.
You know, I don't think we need to change anything or add anything. That is a keeper. You will be seeing that on iTunes.
Oh my gosh. I'm getting lightheaded.
Maybe Rumi can cover that one.
Dude, that would be so great. Have them do it right.
Oh man. The zombie from Jesus.
I gotta say, I feel like I'm a third person here, so please don't take this as like I'm prideful. But that's my favorite one since Booking My Butt. Sometimes I sit back and I'm like, that is coming out of my mouth right now. So I was just as amazed as you. All right. It is time for us to get out of here. Oh, my goodness. I usually have music that doesn't sing. Hold on. This is professional. Anyway, let's see here. It's time for us to go. John, thank you again for another great show. Appreciate it, man. You're awesome. And you can check out the podcast, podcast.nlcast.com. You can email us, james@nlcast.com. Call us if you want to, 2095-NLCast. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter, /NLCast for both of those, or follow John at jsteinclaver.com and Twitter and all that good stuff. Join us for a live show every Tuesday night, 9:30. And join us for QHOG on Thursdays. Leave an iTunes review if that's how you found us, and check out all of the great podcasts, including the Sticker Cast, Secret Cast for Young Husbands, and all that good stuff over there at nlcast.com. Thanks to our sponsors. Thanks to Rob Gobers for this awesome theme music. Thanks to our spouses for letting us record, our contributors, our sponsors, and everyone who listens. We appreciate you so much. And remember, when you tell a funny life story, tell it like nobody's listening. We'll see you guys next week. Zombie from Jesus. Thank you for coming around. Zombie from Jesus. Yeah.
Whoa, it fits with the theme song.
I know, it's scary.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.